Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
On Sunday, October 6th last year, 22-year-old Hannah Leonard from Wicklow was training for the Dublin Marathon when she was struck by a car at a pedestrian crossing on the Italian island of Sicily. Well, in November, we spoke to Hannah's father, Kevin, on the programme about the situation facing her and the family's hope to bring her back to an Irish hospital. Well, there are now plans in place to bring Hannah home, and Kevin Leonard joins me on the line. Kevin, it's good to talk to you again.
Morning, Claire.
Now, when we chatted to you in November, as I was saying, you were telling us then about your plans to bring Hannah home. How close do you think you are to being able to do that?
Yeah, so it's crazy to think it's almost 2 months, I think, since I spoke to you last. And then we were talking about trying to get her home. But now there's finally a light at the end of the tunnel in that it looks like within the next week or two, we will be able to get her on a plane and bring her back to Beaumont to start her recovery journey in Ireland.
And that would be huge for you, I know, because, I mean, your lives have been completely upended since the accident.
Yeah, so, like, I've been here pretty much 3 months. My wife was here the whole time as well. She's just returned home with our other two children so they can get back to school. And because it was looking like Hannah was going to get home soon, so she decided better her to go home and take care of them than have somebody else looking after them. Mm-hmm. So I've had two trips home. One was to bring the kids home so they could go back to school in October, and then one was in December to bring them back here to us for Christmas. So other than that, our lives have been spent in Catania for 3 months.
And listen, the delay in getting her back or getting permission to get her home, it was all down to the risk of infection, wasn't it?
So after, when we spoke last, Hannah had just contracted a bacterial infection, her cerebral spinal fluid. And we had thought or hoped it was going to clear quickly. In the end, it actually took 5 weeks for that infection to clear. And the surgeons wouldn't do any other procedures with Hannah until that infection had cleared. And about 4 weeks into the infection, her neurosurgeon was getting concerned at the length of time it was taking for it to clear. So he changed his approach. So Hannah had a catheter in her head, which was draining the cerebral spinal fluid to try and clear the infection. And then she was also getting antibiotics. But it wasn't working, it wasn't clearing. So he decided to change approach and gave her a second catheter into her head to aggressively drain the cerebral spinal fluid, as well as having her on a course of antibiotics. And once that approach changed, it was about a week or a week and a half after that that the infection cleared. And then we had to wait for the prosthetic, the new piece of skull to arrive, which then delayed things a little bit further. So all in all, it was the week before Christmas that she was finally able to get the surgery once everything had settled down.
Mm-hmm. So now you are close to the point where you might be able to move her. And I remember the last time we spoke as well, you were trying to figure out all of the logistics, the huge costs around that as well was something that you were going to need to address. So has the path been smoothed in that regard?
The path has been smooth in that there's a lady in the HSE who is helping us out with the logistical side of things to get her home. The costs were still uncertain as to whether or not we'll have to carry those costs. When we spoke before, we've been talking about trying to figure out whether or not Hannah had travel insurance to cover those costs. And after a lot of investigations by a friend, we discovered she didn't have travel insurance.
Okay.
So the costs are considerable to essentially rent a private plane for a day with an intensive care doctor and intensive care nurse on the plane as well. So we're still looking at how the costs will be covered. But then we have been very fortunate in the support that Hannah has received in the GoFundMe page that my brother set up for her. So thankfully, the money is there to get her home if we need to dip into those finances to get her home.
Yeah, I mean, I had a look at that this morning, and there's about, when I last checked, 224,000 there now raised for Hannah. But it sounds like you're going to need every bit of that, because you'll have the cost of getting her home, but also there will be ongoing expenses that you're going to have to meet as time goes on.
Yeah, well, Like when we spoke last, we didn't know what the future prognosis was going to be for Hannah, and this is a long term injury. Like Hannah's got a long journey to go, and we still don't know where she will land once that journey is finished. And within that journey is going to be a lot of therapy, a lot of care. There'll probably need to be adjustments made to our house. We'll probably have to get specialist equipment. So there will be a lot of future costs associated with Hannah and her condition. So the response to the GoFundMe was overwhelming for Vanessa and I, because like when my brother set it up, it was set up to allow family and friends to offer assistance, because everybody was reaching out going, you know, how can we help you? How can we help you? And there really was nothing anybody else could do. You know, we thought it would raise a small amount of money. We never expected it to raise anything close to what it has raised for her, which is fantastic. And, you know, 2 months into it's been set up, there's still funds coming into it. Yeah,
which is good news, because like I said, you're going to need every penny of it. And I think from what you said, you're well aware that that's going to be the case. In terms of how she is and what her responses have been like to you, has there been any change?
So her responses were slowed, I suppose, by the infection. It was a real setback in that we didn't see any big changes over the 5 weeks that she had the infection. Now that she's had the surgery, so, you know, she looks like Hannah again. There's no longer the dip in her skull. She is moving her body a lot more than she used to. We're getting facial movements, some mouth movements. So I'll put my phone beside her in the bed in the evening and play music for her. And it's like she's trying to sing along to the music. She still has the tracheotomy, so she can't make any noise with her mouth. So she can't talk. Her left eye is fully open, so I don't think her eye was open last time we spoke. Mm-hmm. And her left eye is watching everything that's going on. Even the doctors have said, you know, it feels like she's following us around the room when we're going around her bed. She's had some reactions to pain sometimes. So we were there one night and they had to give her an injection. And as they gave her the injection, her whole body curled up in pain. She does big yawns. So she's slowly, very slowly, coming around, and time will tell just where she gets to with those reactions and interactions with people.
Now, I know you spent Christmas there in Sicily, like you've said to us that you've been there the entire time since this happened. What was that like?
Christmas has always been a big thing in our household. Hannah's always the first person to get up and go running down to see if Santa's delivered presents, even at 21, 22 years of age. We didn't know how Christmas was going to pan out. And one of Hannah's doctors in the ICU, Giuseppe, invited us to go and join him for Mass in the church chapel on Christmas morning. And then it said he would try and arrange an extra visit for us with Hannah on Christmas morning in the ICU. So we went over to Mass in the chapel. It's only a little chapel, only about 30 people fit into it. The priest was lovely and welcomed us and, you know, told us that he visited Hannah frequently and offered her sacraments. And then after the Mass, Giuseppe brought us into the ICU. No other families got in to see their family members in the ICU, and Giuseppe sort of snuck us in. So we got in to see her, the four of us, and give her some presents that we bought for her. And then we were able to, it sounds really corny, but we were actually able to hold her hand without the gloves on for the first time. So every time we go into the ICU, we have to put on all the PPE, the hairnets, the gowns, the gloves, the face masks, the shoe covers. And this day we were allowed to take off the gloves, so we were actually able to hold her hand.
And that was, I'm sure, a really special moment for you on Christmas Day.
Oh, yeah, it was, because like, we can't even give her a kiss in the evening because we've got the masks on, so... You know, just being able to hold her hand for the first time.
Mm-hmm. Well, look, Kevin, I know the next few weeks are filled full of hope, really, because and that hope is that you will be back in Ireland and that Hannah will be in hospital in Dublin, which I know will make life somewhat easier for you as a family. But you still need help, don't you, from people here?
Yeah, so things are lining up at home. Hannah's sort of at a stage now where she needs to start interacting with therapists and people to get her moving. The ICU, the aim of the ICU is to keep her alive, you know, and save her life. And that's what they did. They're not physiotherapists, occupational therapists, speech therapists. They are there to keep her alive. And they are keen now as well. Not that they want to get rid of her, because they have said Anna can stay here as long as she needs to, because they've accepted her and even say that, you know, she's like their own daughter to them and she can stay as long as she needs to. But we need to get her home and we need to start the next part of her recovery journey. So, yeah, hopefully now within the next week to 2 weeks, I'll be on a plane back to Dublin with Anna.
Well, listen, Kevin, we'll stay in touch with you. If anyone wants to help the GoFundMe page, if people just do a search for Hannah Leonard, they can help out there if they would like to. And I know lots of people here want to do that. We'll keep in touch with you. We all have our fingers crossed and we hope that Hannah will be back here and yourself and the rest of the family before too long.
Thanks very much, Claire.
Not at all, Kevin. Look after yourself. That's Kevin Thanks. Leonard there in Sicily.
Get in touch on WhatsApp 0870 32 32 32.